Our sermon this week is brought to us by our very own Archdeacon, the Venerable Simon Heathfield. Well, you may notice that I'm neither Simon Heathfield nor quite as shaven as in the rest of the service. Unfortunately, at the last minute, he's not been able to send us a video, so I'm afraid you have me again speaking unprepared and early on Sunday morning, and unfortunately having some issues with technology, so apologies if the service has been late this morning. I've not got long to get it uploaded now. Anyway, this is one of those parts of the New Testament that busts the image many of us have of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, which owes, let's be honest, more to the Victorians than the actual Bible. Verse 15, Jesus treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. Many of us don't like to talk about God in this way. We much prefer to present a picture of God as loving and caring, who comes running to meet us, his prodigal children, who searches high and low to find us, his lost sheep. Of course, God is like that. Those two examples come from Jesus' own teaching about who God is. But God is also more than that. Crucially, he is the judge. That is a good thing. I suspect many of you have seen TV shows with judges. Jess and I particularly like the cookery ones like MasterChef, and recently we enjoyed the BBC's replacement for Bake Off, Britain's Best Home Cook. But there are others, aren't there, to do with dancing, singing, fitness, the list goes on. They all, though, have judges. And those judges are qualified experts in the field, which makes their opinion and therefore their conclusions valid. Most of us also have a deep-seated sense of judgment, of right and wrong. We're pretty good at deciding when things are right and wrong. The problem is, it's usually focused onto ourselves. That is, what we do is right, and what others do is wrong. Unless, of course, it happens to coincide with what we would have done in that situation. We are excellent at spotting wrong in other people. And I think this is one of the main reasons we don't like thinking of Jesus as judge. We'd much rather be our own judge so we can give ourselves a favourable ruling. After all, I'm pretty sure I'd win Strictly Come Dancing, despite having two left feet, if I were the judge. Thankfully, I'm not. I can't stand that show. Sorry to all the Strictly fans out there. But thankfully, I'm not the judge of all either. Jesus is. What are his qualifications for the role? Verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. Jesus is not a bit faithful like us. His name is Faithful. It's who he is, who he always has been, and who he always will be. He is true to his word, true to his promises. He is reliable. He is faithful. And Jesus is true. There is no such thing as true for me and true for you. Jesus is true. Jesus is the truth. We can believe him. We can trust him. He is reliable. He is true. I can't think of better qualifications for the judge of all. Who better to judge between right and wrong, good and evil, than the one who is called true? And who better to bring real, not arbitrary, justice than the one who is called faithful? And who better to judge than one who is strong enough to carry out his judgment against evil, injustice, and opposition to God? I mean, do you not want all the wrongs of this world to be righted? So here we have a picture of Jesus, the judge, bringing justice to all those who oppose God and reject his rule. It is a fearsome image, but also majestic and awesome. Remember, this is God we're talking about here, not some personal pet. Jesus is the judge. But at the same time, he is the bridegroom. Immediately before these verses, this scene of judgment and then battle, John describes the wedding supper of the Lamb in verse 9, with his bride, the church, dressed in fine, bright and clean linen, verses 7 and 8. Exactly the same clothes as the armies of heaven, verse 14. Some honeymoon. But I can't think of better qualifications for a bridegroom than the name Jesus is given here, faithful and true. To be honest, those two words are a pretty good working definition of what it means to love another person, day in, day out. All this means we have a choice: to accept Jesus' invitation to his wedding, or to oppose God and end up on the battlefield with everyone else who has rejected him. One of those ends well for us. The other really doesn't. I know which I would prefer. But that choice, that decision, is not one that we make only once. If Jesus is called faithful and true, we, his followers, are to be faithful and true also, every day, in every way. The decision to follow Jesus and be faithful and true like him, it's both a huge, life-changing decision and dozens of tiny decisions every single day. Ask yourself this week, how do I make decisions? Do I make them with reference to God or only to myself? How do I make decisions? But know this also. Even when you make bad decisions, big or small, Jesus knows he is always true. He knows the truth of our hearts. But Jesus is also faithful, and he promises never to turn away from those who come to him. So let's, together, build and model our lives on the one who is called faithful and true. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our judge, and our bridegroom, faithful and true.